May the words of our mouths this day and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. It is my guess that about 48 hours into the new year every year, after the Rose Parade is completed and they're cleaning up Colorado Boulevard, within about 48 hours, I think the Tournament of Roses probably meets and begins planning the parade for the next year. Because it is not easy to pull off a parade such as we have here in Pasadena, and all of Pasadena is to be displayed before the world. There is a message to be sent about Pasadena every year in our Rose Parade. And so today there was much forethought behind this triumphal entrance into Jerusalem. Jesus plans, first of all, where to begin his procession. Not at Orange Grove in Colorado, but in Bethphage. And he chooses Bethphage because he knows that he will not violate the law, which prevents anyone walking on the Sabbath day any particular distance. Bethphage is within that boundary. And so Jesus, without violating the law, can enter the precincts of Jerusalem. Rose parades are never planned on Sunday, but Jesus planned this for a major holy day. And the Grand Marshal did not ride in a 1932 convertible Ford Roadster. They were not invented back then, but the equivalent might have been a white stallion. Jesus could have entered Jerusalem on a white stallion, but instead, he chooses to ride a donkey, a young and inexperienced one at that. He sits on a very small donkey, which would not have made for a very grand entrance, would it? It would have put him right at eye level with the crowd, who really wanted somebody they could look up to that day. Jesus would have been on eye level with them. He did all of this in order to fulfill the prophecy found in Zechariah 9, verse 9. Lo, your king comes to you triumphant and victorious, but humble, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This parade was well planned, not only for that Palm Sunday, but for how it would echo through the centuries. Our Rose Parade, fortunately, is pretty well scrubbed from political messaging. Not this parade. It had subversive overtones, a bit of a doo-dah tone. Jesus' followers, as all of we did today, waved palms in the street. We don't understand that that was conveying dissatisfaction with the Roman occupation. The Romans had issued coinage just a few years before, stamped with the image of the Emperor Tiberius. And that was a violation of Jewish law against graven images. And so all of Israel protested, and the Romans uncharacteristically relented, and they had that image of Tiberius stamped over with a palm. And so the palm frond became a powerful symbolism for Jerusalemites and all of the people of Israel. It became a symbol of quiet resistance. Some of those coins can be found today from 28 AD in museums around the world. So today Jesus is mixing politics and religion. He's also mixing in a little economics, because when he arrives at the temple, he gets off that donkey and he goes in and he overturns the tables of the money changers and he drives out the money changers with a bullwhip. He is making a statement this day. So here's what we're left with. This is the most crowded and confused and dissonant liturgy of the entire Christian year. We were outside on the close and we began in a happy enough mood. It's kind of fun to walk up San Gabriel Boulevard and confuse passage buyers in their cars. They wonder what's going on down there. Then we come into church and we hear a distinctly downbeat reading about the crucifixion. We start happy, we end sad. This is a bipolar day. And it brings the gospel message home to us as Jesus intended. This liturgy has something specific to say about the Christian experience of God. And so we have held these processions every year, at least since the 4th century. In fact, that hymn that we entered on, All Glory, Laud, and Honor, was written by Theodulf of Orleans from prison in 818 AD. We are meant to feel a little bipolar as we enter Holy Week. So today, if we put all of our cards on the table, the holy cards that we saw outside when we gathered our palms, the cards that we play when we play our hands each day of the week, maybe the cards you play in Vegas, I don't know, I don't do that. When we put all our cards on the table, we have to own up to the fact that this liturgy is about the fact that Jesus was a bit of a disappointment. What other than dissonance are you supposed to feel when someone whom you admire refuses to be who you think they ought to be? Even well-off people in Jerusalem were living in circumscribed circumstances under the Roman occupation, and they wanted a hero. They wanted a little muscular Judaism. Why not a white stallion? Why not a jihad? Christ could have chosen a stallion instead of meeting people at eye level from the back end of a donkey. And he could have initiated a rebellion rather than going to the cross. Jesus decides not to ride above the people. He comes on our level, and he does not fix everything. It is something of a disappointment. Unless maybe you're the donkey. Really, coach? You're going to put me in the game? The donkey got the best part of this day. I think Jesus' forethought went well beyond that parade, because it never seems to turn out very well when people overpromise or when they try to strong-arm the world to conform to their expectations, especially when those expectations are spiritual. Right now, Islamic State is trying to imitate the conquering armies of Muhammad. But I bet not one of us are persuaded to see God in that jihad. Perhaps an underperforming Messiah strikes just the right note for a confused and dissonant and troubled world. Maybe Jesus knew exactly what he was doing when he gave his entrance plenty of forethought. In our reading today from Philippians, St. Paul notes that Christ Jesus is in the form of God, but also in the form of a slave. How is that for a bipolar dogma? Christ is a human being. He is entirely vulnerable. And in that vulnerability, we find the full expression of the divine. God's power is revealed in weakness. God's victory is revealed in defeat. And St. Paul revels in that contradiction. Everything, he says, in heaven and on earth, bow down before the mystery of that dissonance. So, today's liturgy is supposed to be a mess. It has been a mess for at least 1,600 years. Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday, a victory parade, but the home team doesn't make it onto the scoreboard. We have held on to this Sunday for a couple of thousand years because we recognize that there is dissonance in each of our lives also. Nothing is black and white. Much remains messy. God is with us, and God does not fix much. G.K. Chesterton once said, there are two kinds of people. Those who accept dogmas and know it, and those who accept dogmas and don't know it. And we are probably a little bit of both. Our dogma is that God inhabits the dissonance and proves strong in weakness and possesses our humanity through Christ and joins in our mundane and daily parade. Amen.